Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Kevin Wilds, and Greg Jennings. Pretty in pink this morning. Thank you, gentlemen. We got a lot coming up on a Wednesday morning. Could the Patriots be looking at Vinatieri again? Why was KD so rubbed in Golden State after all? And when he's not throwing gatherings of seven people or less, Dak Prescott is reportedly also not showing up for work. Reportedly. That is where we start this morning with the Dallas Cowboys. So we know that Dak wants a long-term deal with the boys, one that pays him like one of the top paid, if not the top paid quarterbacks in the league. Yes, we know that. He's apparently so unhappy with the Cowboys franchise tag, he's reportedly prepared to skip the team's virtual offseason program that starts on Monday. Who knows? Maybe he just can't figure out Zoom. Or maybe he's trying to make a point. Nick, these are voluntary programs, but still I ask you, is this a big deal or no deal?
Well, it's certainly not no deal. I think any time the franchise quarterback of a team decides not to be a part of something, it's noteworthy. It was noteworthy when Tom Brady stopped attending Patriot OTAs, and it's noteworthy that Dak Prescott isn't going to be attending these OTAs for the Cowboys, even though they're of the virtual variety. Now, I do think it is an interesting question that if we weren't in this coronavirus world, where if these workouts were actually in person, would Dak still be taking this step? To me, this allows him to do something of a protest, but not a full-blown I'm not showing up protest, because nobody's actually showing up. He's just not logging on. But I do think it continues to give us evidence that the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, their impasse is not any closer to being resolved. They've had 14 months to get a deal done. They have not gotten a deal done. They have a deadline, though, now that is 90 days away, July 15th. 3 months from today, if they don't get a deal done, they're not allowed to get a deal done. After that point, it's franchise tag or nothing. And I am starting to wonder, what evidence do we have at all that they will get a deal done at this point? And I think Dak is potentially Wilds asking for a little more than his played merits. However, in his defense, he has seen the Cowboys make his tackle, his guard, his center, his running back, his wide receiver, all of them, highest paid history of the league at their position. It seems to be what the Cowboys do. And Wilds, Dak appears to want to be the next in line, or at least close to the next in line for a record-breaking deal. And if that's his level of expectation, I don't know that we see this done by the deadline of July 15th. I don't know that the Cowboys and Dak get a deal done, Wilds.
See, Nick, I think the deal gets done. I think if these workouts were in person, Dak would be here, and this is not a big deal at all. It's a voluntary workout, and unless Dak Prescott is a voluntary firefighter who is refusing to fight a fire, then it's totally voluntary, and it doesn't matter. Voluntary firefighters are the only people where it matters that you're voluntary and you show up. Dak is totally fine without going to 2 hours of Google Classroom and 2 hours of working out. Can we put up what these virtual workouts are? I put the quotes in there. I didn't mean to hurt the feelings of the virtual workouts. Look, it's going to start on April 20th because they've got a new coach. That's interesting. They got 2 hours of classwork, which, look, if you're a parent at home trying to do virtual learning, is the absolute worst. And I'm not surprised Dak doesn't want to do it.
Hardest.
2 hours of working out. Do I think Dak Prescott is going to work out? Yes, of course. Do I think he wants to be taped or monitored and recorded or being told when to do this? No, I don't. And I don't think it's a big deal, Jenna. I think this is all going to work out, and Dak is 100% within his right to skip something that's voluntary to begin with.
So, Greg, then tell me, why not just show up for a virtual workout? You're not going to get hurt. It shows that you are actually a true leader. You have a new head coach, maybe set an example for the rest of the team. Whether a deal happens or not, how much of that is really going to depend on whether you show up for a virtual workout? Is this a big deal or is this no deal?
You know, it is a big deal. It's a big deal for Dak Prescott. It's a big deal in this regard. When you look at his track record, he's always been on brand. He's always been in pocket, if you will, to really being out front and being that leader and being that that visionary, or not even the visionary, being that one that either the head coach can look at or the owner can look at and say, hey, are you with me or are you not? And he's always been with. He's always been in lockstep with Jerry Jones or the head coach. And so now all of a sudden you understand that he feels a certain way, and that way is not in lockstep with you and where you're going and where you're headed and what you've decided to do. And to Nick's point, he's watched his entire team. And I know I'm being a little dramatic, but he's watched roughly his entire team get the bag thrown at them, if you will. And he's looking at this like, well, what about me? He's watched also last year, his running back sit out and then it worked out in his favor. So why all of a sudden do I have to constantly show you that I'm in agreement with everything that we've done, everything that we're doing, and then you treat me this way? So another point that Nick made, it's a big deal for Dak, and it's even better for Dak because it's not mandatory and it's not actually physically showing up in person. So is it a big deal? Yes, it's a big deal for Dak because this is a way he can kind of set the tone on how he would respond if they were physically going to Cowboys camp. I don't think he would do it if they were actually physically going to the facility for off-season programs, because it would look, the optics would look a lot different, and that's not his brand. That's not what he does. But I think this is an opportunity for him to make a statement and let them know that he's serious and that he wants to get paid and he wants a long-term deal.
Greg, what do you think about the Mike McCarthy angle to all of this? How do you think he feels?
Mike McCarthy is in one of those situations where he obviously wants his quarterback. He wants to communicate the verbiage. He wants to get on the same page. He wants to develop a rapport on just not only football, but getting to know Dak Prescott, the human being, because the closer he can get to knowing him as a human and how he functions and what he thinks and the things that make him tick, then the easier it is for him to be a head coach and be a play caller effectively for him. However, when you look at it from just a strictly business perspective of football, it's a huge deal for Mike McCarthy, because I came here. One of the main reasons for my coming here and accepting this job is not only because it's the Dallas Cowboys, but because I saw a future with us being Dak Prescott, us sharing a similar mentality of feeling like we constantly have to prove ourselves and we're kind of being the odd man out. And so when you look at it from that lens, Mike McCarthy is kind of looking like, guys, get this done. I've been in a meeting room. I've been in an office with Mike McCarthy where he's expressed his feelings of contracts and his hands-off approach of, look, I don't have anything to do with that. I hope it gets done. I believe it will get done for your sake, for my sake, so we can move forward together. That's his approach, and that should be his approach. But it's going to impact him drastically because he doesn't have his number one guy there to converse with, to pour in all this information.
Nick, a lot of people would say the Cowboys have made more than a fair offer to Dak Prescott over the course of the last 14 months, and that offer has changed a little bit. If nothing happens, there are early sort of rumblings and reports that the Cowboys would actually consider trading Dak Prescott if they can't figure something out. Is that a viable option for Dallas, you think?
I don't think it's something Dallas is going to do. I think if they were a smarter franchise, or if they were a less emotional franchise, I should say, they would already be considering it and maybe putting the pieces in place to set that into motion if this comes to pass. If you're the Dallas Cowboys and your option is to pay Dak Prescott as if he's Patrick Mahomes, when he's a lot of things, but Patrick Mahomes he is not, or to call up the Miami Dolphins, a team that has a ton of cap space, that Dak Prescott would be the best quarterback that franchise has had by a wide margin since Dan Marino, and say, hey, Dak for the number 5 pick, assuming Tua's still there. You win. You guys can pay him. We, as the Dallas Cowboys, to get that rookie quarterback situation that we saw the Chiefs win a Super Bowl with, the Seahawks win a Super Bowl with, the Eagles win a Super Bowl with quarterback on a rookie contract so you can have the rest of your team in place. I absolutely think that contingency plan should start being at least discussed in Frisco. Now, in Frisco, Texas. Now, I don't think they will. I think there's too much of an emotional attachment. But you've got to have a walkaway number. And, I mean, the three of you can relate to this, I assume. Listen, I've only bought one house in my life. It was outside of Houston, Texas, years ago. You guys all have had a bunch of money for a long time, probably have properties all over the world. No matter how much you love a certain house or investment. Okay, it's all, see, Greg's at least not denying it. You guys can't admit to America. Even as much as you love it, at some point you've got to say to be able to say, you know what? It's too much. We've got to start looking at other options. Even if you think that house is the best of your options, if the juice becomes not worth the squeeze, you've got to be prepared to move on. Wilds, Dak is banking that the Cowboys will never have a contingency plan, that they won't be prepared to move on. And so, yeah, if I'm Dallas, I'm at least quietly, as Bill Barnwell put out there as the trade would be, calling up Miami and saying, fifth overall pick for Dak, is there any interest there to at least let Dak's agent know, hey, we do have an option C. It's not just sign your long-term franchise tag you. There's also maybe you go play somewhere else if you think you should make $39 million a year, Wilds.
You know, Nick, in my house, I have a small backyard, and we were thinking about putting up a basketball hoop. I thought, you know what? Maybe I'll pave the entire backyard and put up a little real court so we have no grass and just pavement. And you know what? It's fun to think about, and it's not happening. And that's the same with the Cowboys trading Dak. Fun to think about, not happening, Jenna.
Here's how Wild's brain works. It goes this way and then that way, and then it comes right back to the point.
I know.
That's why
sometimes
we have it. All right, we got to take a break. All right, guys, time now for drawing a blank. So Tom Brady might have taken his talents down south, but his fans still remain up north. Get this. Rhode Island and Massachusetts are the top two most popular states for Brady's new Bucks jersey. What about Florida? Where the Bucks actually are? Yeah, Florida came in at number 6. So, Nick, Brady's Bucks jersey being more popular with New Englanders than Floridians is blank.
It's predictable, Jenna, but the real answer is it's heartbreaking. This makes me sad. This is, okay. You know, there's already pangs of regret, I assume, from Tom. He's not being embraced by, you know, his new state, his new region, the way he had hoped. Meanwhile, folks in New England, this is who it's truly heartbreaking for, that it not only did your, you know, former partner leave you, but they've already remarried and you're still flipping through the wedding photos. In fact, you're registering to get them gifts for their next wedding. And it just, you feel like someone needs to grab them and say, hey, Pats fans, stop tweeting to Nick Wright defending Tom Brady. He's not yours anymore. He's moved on. You should as well. So Sully from Southie wearing your Tom Brady Bucks jersey. It just, I'm not upset. I'm just sad, Greg. I'm sad.
All right.
Look, this is tried and true. These Pats fans, they've been tried through the fire with Tom Brady, and he's come through true every time, man. And so when you leave, and you leave on good terms, and you don't leave, and you haven't burned any bridge, and you haven't scorched the home or done anything that's been would be traumatic, then they'll roll with you. That's how fans are. And Tom Brady has afforded these fans championship seasons, AFC East championships, Super Bowl championships. The list goes on and on. All they know is Tom Brady. And so, yes, where he goes, they go. And for to note, Floridians, there are a lot of transplants. So there's a lot of Boston, Massachusetts, Rhode Island.
There you go.
There's down there for the winter anyway that make Florida their home. So it's, I don't know if it's really that big of a deal.
Well, Jenna, there's nothing I like least in this show than when Nick Wright is 100% correct. But unfortunately, that's where we're at today. I put George Jones down as my answer because I got Sirius Radio in the old car, which allows you to listen to a lot of different music. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll listen to some spa music, and maybe I'll listen to some heavy metal, and maybe I'll listen to some country with George Jones. And I was going to get a pizza the other day, and I said, oh, what's this song? This seems nice. I like this. I'm okay with this. And then by the time I got to the pizza place, I was in full weep, fully weeping, and I had to sit outside the pizza place and compose myself before entering. That's the way I feel about George Jones songs and also, unfortunately, about this Tom Brady jersey fiasco. Just sad all around. Nick's right.
I would have paid good money, Jenna, to watch Wilds weeping outside of the pizza shop. I would have paid good money for
Colony
that,
Pizza.
Jenna,
that was sad.
All right, well, you'll soon be able to get and borrow some good money from your guy, Patrick Mahomes. See, the Chiefs' all-pro tight end, Travis Kelce, was on the Dan Patrick Show talking about his Super Bowl MVP quarterback, Patty Mahomes, and said, quote, he's going to make $50 million per year, and he's worth every penny. And if he wanted to get paid in pennies, it's 5 billion pennies, Nick. The Chiefs paying Mahomes $50 million annually would be blank. Did a little math for you, Nick.
Real quick, audience. I wish you could have been on the Zoom call when Jenna was somehow translating $50 million to pennies. I mean, there was it. You would have thought we were launching a rocket to the moon.
All
right, so, yeah. I mean, you got to move the decimal point twice. Was that trillions? Is that a real number?
Okay.
All right, but to answer the question, paying Patrick Mahomes $50 million a year would be A5 Wagyu. So here's why I'm saying that. You go to a fancy steakhouse and you see the nicest steak on the menu is like $65. You're like, that's a lot of money for a steak. And then you see in a little box at the bottom, this thing called A5 Wagyu, and it's $200. And you say, "What? How can it be worth that much more than the next best steak?" When you see Russell Wilson makes $35 million a year and you see Patrick Mahomes $50 million, how could it be worth that much more than Russell Wilson? But much like when you taste the A5 Wagyu, when you watch him play, you're like, oh, that's how. Totally worth it. Absolutely. Don't get the sides. Skimp on the appetizers. That's what we've got to have. So, Greg Jennings, it's the sticker shock will get you. But then when you actually experience it, you're like, oh, absolutely worth it. You know what? I feel like I got a deal here. Maybe I should pay more. That's why it'd be like A5 Wagyu, Greg Jennings.
Nick. My word for it is spot on. And you are spot on because that A5 it's kind of a once in a lifetime experience. And you don't know if you're going to really try it again, but you better try it at least once. That's what the Kansas City Chiefs have. And I love the fact that this is out there and that a teammate said it because a teammate understands how important he is. A teammate understands his value. And I think if this were to happen, which I think it very, very well could, it would finally be a team saying, we're not just going to pay our quarterback the most because he's the next quarterback in line and he's going to just fill that next high slot. We're going to surmount that. We're going to go far and beyond because we know what we have is extremely special and unique, and there is none like it. And so we're going to pay him whatever we desire, and his value is worth. Love it.
Nick, you know how they have bird rights in the NBA, and the rights are named after Larry Bird? Mm-hmm. I wonder if Mahomes' contract ushers in the QB salary cap that was kicked around, rumored, and it didn't get any momentum. I wonder when Mahomes comes up, that will be the push to get the salary cap just for QBs in place.
I like it. It helped the Chiefs. I like it entirely. So, yeah, that's a good. That's better than George Jones.
That's what you were wondering.
I'll tell you that much.
I was wondering.
See, well, if you're going to go talk about steaks, I got to be the numbers guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What kind of fancy cow? I wonder what they look like that's giving you the A5. As a non-meat eater, you'll have to explain it to me. Moving on to Joe Burrow now. He's all but a lock to be drafted number one overall by the Bengals next Thursday. But no matter what team gets the Heisman-winning quarterback, Burrow knows his first season, it's going to be tough. He said, whatever team I go to, it's going to be a challenge. So, Nick, Burrow's rookie season will be blank.
You know, once again, Joe Burrow refusing to even say Cincinnati's name. Whatever team I go to, again, someone please trade up for me. But my answer is Joe Burrow's rookie season is going to be like my hair. There are days where it's like, wow, good move, Nick. That was smart that you grew that out. That old buzz cut looked ridiculous. And there are days where I'm getting, you know, mocked on Twitter by the most overrated receiver in NFL history. And I'm like, geez, I just got to shave my head.
Okay.
I've made a terrible mistake. And that's what Joe Burrow's rookie season is going to be like. There's going to be days where they're like, yep, this is why we took him number one overall. And there are going to be days where the Bengals are like, eh, Tua Tagovailoa is looking pretty good. So he's like my hair. There's going to be up and down as you try to figure your way through this.
Yeah, how about a roller coaster? That's what we're looking for, Nick. A roller coaster. Your hair, Joe Burrow's experience, and his team that drafts him first, which will be the Bengals. It's going to be a roller coaster for both sides, I believe. I think it's going to be a roller coaster for Joe Burrow because he's not going to know what he's getting into until he's in it. And once he's in it, there's going to be things he loves about it, and there's going to be things he absolutely does not like about it. And the same is going to be said with the Cincinnati Bengals. Neither side will come out right and say it, but because they want to appear just like anyone who rides a roller coaster, that I wasn't afraid, and it was everything that I thought it would be, but it, you know, in your heart of hearts, it's really not. And it really wasn't that fun, and I might not do it again. And if I had an option, I'm just not going to even come to the ballpark.
You know, when Joe Burrow was answering this question, it was less about the Bengals and more about just having a protracted time to get up to speed without OTAs. I think this is very similar to the triathlon that I'm kind of training for, which I can run, sure, I know how to bike, and I can swim to survive, but not with any efficiency. So I'm like, let me look on YouTube. I'll learn to swim virtually. I don't think it actually works. I'm going to get in the pool and be like, yeah, I read about this, but this is totally different. I feel like that's the way Joe Burrow is going to read the playbooks, and he'll have it all. But once he gets out there, he's going to be like, oh, my reach is not as good as I thought it was going to be.
I love it, Wilds. We're getting a lot of insight into Wilds crying outside of pizza shops, virtually learning how to swim. On to the Cowboys now. Bill Barnwell proposed some draft day trades. We talked about this one a little earlier. One of them standing out. Dallas trading Dak Prescott to the Dolphins for their fifth overall pick. Nick, the Cowboys trading Dak would be blank.
For the Dolphins for the fifth pick, I think it'd be savvy. In fact, the matter is this. I would rather have Tua. I think Tua Tagovailoa's ceiling is higher than Dak Prescott's, first of all. Second of all, Tua would not be making real NFL money for at least 4 years, if not 5 years. Third of all, the Cowboys paid Amari top of the market. They paid Zeke top of the market. They paid Jalen Smith, their inside linebacker, second most inside linebacker money in NFL history. Tyron Smith's on a $100 million deal. They got to, at some point, create a middle class on the team. You can't just have uber wealthy and then minimum level guys. And if they pay Dak, they're going to have to operate that way. So for a lot of reasons, cap-wise, overall talent-wise, and if I'm in the negotiation with the Cowboys, I'm a little annoyed, if I'm being totally honest. I know they say it's not supposed to get personal with negotiations. Like, Jesus, man, you and I both know you're not Russell Wilson, you're not Patrick Mahomes, you're not Aaron Rodgers. Stop asking to be paid like them. What if we just trade you? What if you're not the quarterback for the Cowboys anymore? So, Greg, I think it'd be savvy if they do it.
I think it would be incomprehensible. I just wouldn't understand it. A guy who's done everything that you've asked him to do, and then when it's his turn for you to actually pay him what he has earned, we're not even talking about what he's worth, what he's earned, you don't do it. So I think it's just incomprehensible. And then to your point, you're not going to trade him and then bring in a rookie quarterback of more uncertainty when you're trying to win now. This team is built to win now. It's not built to win in 2 and 3 and 4 years down the road. They're built to win right now with Dak Prescott under center. And if that's not the case, I don't know what we're doing. If I'm on that team, if I'm Mike McCarthy and I just got acquired as head coach, I'm confused. I'm lost.
Jenna, when I read this from Barnwell, shout out to Barnwell, I'm kind of like the Alonzo Mourning gif of like, nope. It's like, well, then maybe that would work. I still don't see this happening. So I put, what? Because it makes sense or it doesn't make sense. And then you're like, oh, it kind of makes sense. So the whole thing is confusing, but I don't think it's happening. But it is interesting. That's why I'm Alonzo Mourning about it.
It is interesting. And the Cowboys have till July 15th to figure out what they are going to do with Dak Prescott. So the conversation continues. Talking Green Bay Packers now. Aaron Rodgers has plans to play in Green Bay past the age of 40. That we know. But the Packers might have their post-Rodger plans already in motion. Green Bay reportedly virtually met with quarterbacks Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love. And their general manager told reporters he would not hesitate to take a quarterback with the Packers' first draft pick. They pick at 30 overall if one of the top prospects fell that far. Greg, I'm going to start with you. You played for the Packers for 7 years. You were there for the transition from Favre to Rodgers. Is it smart for the Packers to be thinking about life post Aaron Rodgers with this upcoming draft?
Of course it is. Of course it's smart with any upcoming draft. If it were last season, if it were this year's draft, yes, it's this is the way of the league. This is the way of your future. And this is how you solidify your future. It's no slap in the face or them saying that Aaron Rodgers is falling off or he's not our guy. This is just giving them an opportunity to get someone in-house, if they so choose to, while Aaron Rodgers is there so that they could learn, whoever that individual is that they choose to select, could see how winning is translated to the football field, to see how preparation gets put in, to see how you work, and to ultimately to sponge off of one of the National Football League's best to ever do it. So yes, you would want to get a guy in so that they could experience all of these things and you could prepare for life after Aaron Rodgers when he decides to hang it up or when he decides to move on. So this is not one of those questions where it's like, should the light? Yes, it's no question. They should. We've seen them without Aaron Rodgers at the helm, and it does not look good when they've had their backups in. So if they can plan and get a guy of their liking and their choice selection to back up Aaron Rodgers now and then step in when the time is right, perfect situation, perfect scenario.
Nick, I don't know what the Packers are thinking about. I think this is the most insane quote we've read from the entire draft. Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. The future is now. It's a sunny day at the beach, and the Packers GM is inside online shopping for raincoats. Dude, go outside. Enjoy the beach. This is what you've been waiting for. It's a beautiful day. You've got Aaron Rodgers. You've got the 30th pick, the 62nd pick, the 94th pick, and 136. You need offensive tackle. You need a wide receiver. The only quarterback that you should think about drafting is if there's a Julian Edelman-type quarterback who's actually a wide receiver. There's no way you should be considering backing up Aaron Rodgers, who's under contract till 2023. The future is now. Please draft someone to help Aaron Rodgers, not Aaron Rodgers' replacement. I'm going to get fired up, Nick.
Wilds, I 1,000% agree with you. Here are the numbers
The
Packers should be considering when it comes to this draft. 74. That's the number of points they gave up in two games against the San Francisco 49ers. 13. That's the number of sacks and fumbles Aaron Rodgers suffered in the two games against the 49ers. The Packers were 14-2 last year against the entire NFL, not named San Francisco. They were 0-2 in their two biggest games of the year against San Francisco. The Niners are going to be right back. I understand they traded away DeForest Buckner, but aside from that, basically everybody's back, and you have to anticipate the Niners actually should be healthier next year than they were this year, where they had some bad injury luck. If you're Green Bay, it is all about right now. You were 13-3 and in the NFC Championship game. You would have been hosting that game if you could have beaten the Niners in the regular season. You would have gone to the Super Bowl. You could have beaten the Niners in the postseason. That's what you've got to focus on. You hit lightning in a bottle once when you, at late in the first round, got Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to do that again. So I'm surprised by your answer, Greg, and I want to throw it back to you. Put yourself on that team. Say you are a veteran receiver. Aaron Rodgers is 36 years old. You know how close you were last year. Greg Jennings, if you're on the Packers and they draft someone who the hope is doesn't play a down this year, and you're a veteran player on that team, what is your reaction if that were to happen?
I'm probably looking like, what are we doing? But here's the thing, Nick. It's not just about when they would draft it, or I'm sorry, it's not just will they draft him in the first round or second round. It's just, should they be playing in the future of replacing Aaron Rodgers? Yes, every team is doing, every team does that. Now, whether they decide to do it, that's another thing. Do they have other positions that they need to address before considering that? Of course. I think we all can agree to that. We see that. They are solidified at the quarterback position. They are solidified at the number one wide receiver position. They're solidified at a corner, to both cornerback positions and one of the safety positions. They need another safety. They need linebackers. They need offensive line. Like, they need so, I shouldn't say they need so many pieces. They need crucial, impactful pieces that can help them get over the hump right now. And a quarterback being selected does not do that for you, but it plans for your future to move on if you decide to move on from Aaron Rodgers 3, 4, or 5 years from now, or whenever he decides to walk off into the sunset. However, if I am on that team, as I will answer your question, no, why are we drafting a quarterback that's going to back up Aaron Rodgers in the first round? That's just not smart. That's not allowing us to win. But I would understand it if I'm on the executive side planning for the future.
But Nick, let me ask you a question. Aaron Rodgers is 36. He's been, for the most part, battling injuries the last couple of years, some of them season-ending injuries. Realistically, how many more years does he have left him, do you think?
Well, every quarterback in NFL history, other than Brady and Breeze, we would say he's got 2-3 years maximum left. Now, the question is, are Brady and Breeze outliers, or are they the start of a new trend with increased, technology as far as health and fitness with the change of the rules, or quarterbacks going to start playing a lot longer? But I guess, Wilds, my point would be, I don't care how many years Aaron Rodgers has left if I'm the Packers, as long as I still have him. It reminds me of the old Bill Polian quote, which was, I think it was Bill Polian, it was someone with the Colts, I'm pretty sure it was Polian, when they were asked about why they don't do more practice with their backup quarterback. So in case Peyton Manning gets hurt, they have some reps. And he says, because if Peyton gets hurt, we're bleeped and we don't practice bleeped. If Rodgers is gone, then you're screwed. So instead of planning for a contingency that will almost assuredly be Wilds, one less with a smaller championship window than one you have right now, maximize Rodgers' window, which means give him some help either on either side of the football, someone that you expect to play 500 snaps this year instead of someone you expect to play zero.
I totally agree. Wide receiver at number 30, Jenna, that's what the Packers should do.
Look, Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre for a couple of years, and then what happened? Hit the ground running. Maybe Hurts to Rodgers is the next Rodgers to Favre. Who knows? We'll see. All right, let's take a slight turn here. Nick will be spending the next 2 weeks breaking down LeBron James' top 10 playoff games. We went through number 10 and 9 already. My little Quinny will tell you that next up would be number 8. Nick, what do you got?
Number 8 is a game most famous for something someone else did, but that game would have never ended the way it did if not for what LeBron did. It's the Ray Allen game. It's 32, 10, and 11. Facing elimination against the San Antonio Spurs, a Spurs team that, with Duncan and Popovich, had never lost in an NBA Finals, could have won championship number 5 right then and there. People forget the context of this game. The Spurs are up 10 going into the fourth quarter. LeBron James scores or assists on 16 consecutive points, turning a 12-point deficit at one point into a tie game in that fourth quarter, leading up to the Ray Allen 3. LeBron scored or assisted on 24 of the Heat 29 points,
Wade and Bosch, by the way, made zero baskets in that fourth quarter and scored 2 points. LeBron hit the three to cut a 5-point lead to two to set up the Ray Allen three after Kawhi Leonard would then miss one free throw. And LeBron is the one that forced Tony Parker on the potential game-winning shot in regulation after the Ray Allen three into an air ball. This was the game that set up game seven of the NBA Finals, which you will see later on this list. A little spoiler alert. And it was, up to that point, the most brilliant fourth quarter of LeBron James' career. Championship on the line, goes 16-4-4 to turn a double-digit deficit into a game that goes to overtime where the Heat ultimately prevail. Game six of the 2013 NBA Finals, the Ray Allen game, is LeBron's eighth greatest playoff game of all time.
The rest of our week here, jam-packed with Super Bowl champs. Tomorrow, Chiefs All-Pro safety Tyrann Mathieu will join us. Friday, we got Chris Long. And this, Justin, Patriot safety Devin McCourty will also join
Let's
us
go.
On Friday.
Let's go.
How about that? Devin and I.
Get him on
Devin's
the graphic.
He's got my half birthday. We will definitely discuss that coming up. Six combined Lombardi trophies. That is heavy. All this week, only on First Things First. All right, guys, time now for some stories to start your morning. Warriors beat reporter Ethan Sherwood Strauss released his new book yesterday, and in it was an interesting excerpt about Kevin Durant, where he said, quote, KD wasn't impressed and accused me of trying to rile up Steph's fans. He expressed that this was a constant theme in the Bay. All of us local guys just wanted to kiss Steph's expletive at his expense. This was KD's consistent lament. Nick, what did you make of this?
Well, listen, I think most of us knew this. This is the reporter, by the way, who KD, if you remember, went at hard in the press conference because he wrote a column discussing that KD was already thinking about leaving the Warriors. And KD, of course, then went out and did leave the Warriors. Ethan Strauss has been covering this team as well as anybody in the world during this era. The book, it just came out yesterday. I'm already about a third of the way through it. Everyone should buy it, by the way. There's a lot of great nuggets in it. But yeah, KD, listen, KD wanted them to love him the way his play warranted. But you always got a special place in your heart for your first, so to speak. And Steph was their fan's homegrown first. And he's more likable than Durant Wilds. And so, yeah, none of this surprises me. And I wonder how Kevin Durant, well, if he's evolved into a little differently now that he's in Brooklyn. I don't know that he has, Kevin.
Wow, I'd be shocked if he was. So first off, congrats to Ethan to getting the book out. Can't wait to read it. And Nick, if you're a third of the way through it, I bet KD is halfway through it. KD is a voracious reader when it comes to articles about himself. Greg, I actually wonder, and I don't know if Ethan addresses in the book, I wonder if all this media criticism that Durant internalizes actually affects the way he plays.
Well, no, we've seen that it doesn't affect the way he plays. If anything, it adds fuel to the fire of how he plays and what he's going to do when he's on that hardwood. But when it comes to this, KD has always been one that has been sensitive to a degree of where he listens to everything and kind of to a fault. But when it comes to Steph Curry, Nick, you touched on something. He was never going to be that guy because, number one, he wasn't drafted by the Golden State Warriors. And then he didn't establish what they became. He wasn't a part of that groundbreaking core group of guys. And then there's so many other touching points that make Stephen Curry so much more relatable. And I know it sounds all mushy, but he's married. He has kids. So there's so many ways that families and people that attend these games, Warriors fans, can feel like I understand what this guy is about. I know what he's going through. I'm kind of like Steph. I have a brother. I have a sibling. I have kids. He's so much more relatable than Kevin Durant.
And just real quick,
right,
before we move on, if I can just follow up real quick to Greg's point, I apologize.
So much of KD has been kind of mimicking the steps LeBron made in a quest to, you know, to reach his level in the media and in fans' eyes. He should have learned from LeBron in this regard. LeBron knew he was never going to be Dwayne Wade in Miami, even though he was the best player, even though he was the finals MVP. That's Wade County. LeBron accepted that. Jenna, Durant was able to with the Warriors and with Steph.
Also, another note to KD, you're never going to win when you battle the media. It just is not the way to go. On to the Arizona Cardinals now. They went out and got Kyler Murray a new weapon in DeAndre Hopkins, and not just any new weapon, probably one of the best weapons in the league. But with the second-year quarterback reportedly campaigning for Arizona to draft former Oklahoma teammate and wideout CeeDee Lamb with the number 8 overall pick. Nick, what's the one position the Cardinals do not need any help at right now?
It's wide receiver. Listen, Kyler, I'll be quick here. I appreciate Kyler repping his guy. This would be franchise malpractice to take a wide receiver in the top 10. They drafted a wide receiver in the second round 2 years ago. They drafted a wide receiver in the second round last year. They just traded for a second round pick for a wide receiver this year. They need almost everything in Arizona Wilds except quarterback and wide receiver. So anything other than those two spots, I love CeeDee Lamb. He can't play for the Cardinals, though, Wilds.
I think it's a fascinating story. If they choose not to go for it, what do they tell Kyler? Like, thanks for advocating, but we decided to go in another direction. Are Kyler's feelings hurt? It's a fascinating story. I think it paints Kyler as a super team-oriented guy, but it is kind of an odd dynamic, Greg.
I love it. I don't think it happens, but I love the fact that Kyler Murray is expressing what he feels they should do, because this is his boy. This is his guy. This is a guy that he's already been in the foxhole with, in the locker room with, and had success with. Why not want to have him in your locker room, outside, on the perimeter, alongside Larry Fitzgerald and Nook? Like, who wouldn't want that? Yes, you say it. That's your guy. Do it. It won't happen, but yeah, you got to express that.
All right, moving on. Let's make Wilds a very happy man right now. Talk some Patriots. After releasing kicker Steven Gostkowski last season, maybe the Pats could get Vinatieri to be their guy. Not Adam, who is 47, but another Vinatieri. Adam's nephew, Chase Vinatieri, out of South Dakota State,
is in
the mix to fill the open position. Ha! Greg, Adam won 3 Super Bowls with the Pats. Should they go after his nephew, Chase, in the draft this year?
I wouldn't chase Chase. No. No, Adam Vinatieri he's one of a kind. Unless you can guarantee me that he's going to produce the way that Adam Vinatieri did, then okay. But if you can't guarantee that, I'll hold off on Chase.
Oh, I like it, Nick. Get me a Vinatieri shirt. I'm ready to go. You know, Belichick's dad was a coach. He's got his son on the roster. He likes the family connections. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it, Nick. Let's go.
All right, the Patriots Wild should not draft Vinatieri, but I'll tell you who should. The Oakland Raiders. A little get back for the snow game, tuck rule game 20 years ago. The Raiders should draft. They should draft Chase Vinatieri and never let him see the field ever. Just have his career die on the vine to get back at his uncle. Just draft him just to ruin him. And be like, we couldn't beat you, but now we've ruined the family line. It dies here. So the Raiders, that's who should draft him, Jenna.
All right. God, we only have a couple minutes left. I want to get to this. This one was floating around Twitter yesterday, a little start bench cut with Russell Westbrook, my guy Allen Iverson, and Chris Paul all at their peak. Greg, I already know the answer to this one, but start bench and cut, Russ, AI, CP3, all at their peak, keep in mind.
All at their peak. Honestly, this isn't hard for me. I got CP. I got to start Chris Paul. That's my guy I'm starting. He gives you so much. He's a team guy. He can facilitate. He can score. He just does it all. And then you look at bench. I would bench Allen Iverson because he is so special and he was so influential in that small guard play. And Russell Westbrook, I gotta cut him. I'm Hey, you can call me prisoner of the moment. I've seen Russell Westbrook. I love what he provides, but I'm a little bit more excited when I see AI and Chris Paul.
Yeah.
We were in the meeting this morning, and Nick is like, this is fun. I totally disagree. I think these things are terrible. I think they're all horrible. Like, what finger do you want to cut off? Like, I hate them. I'm going to go Daryl Morey for my option. I'm going to start all three of these guys, small ball. I'll never say anything bad about either one of these guys. I love them all. It's too stressful to even do on
all
the
right,
show.
It's a total cop-out. I can't believe the producers allowed you to do that. All right, this is difficult. Allen Iverson is one of my favorite players ever. Russ is one of my favorite players ever. And I believe CP3 to be one of the most underrated players ever. However, the easiest choice is the cut. Of these three at their peak, you have to cut AI. I love you, AI. You were a transformative player. But at their peak, he's the one that's got to go. And then it's the question of Russ or CP3 at their peak. And the answer is CP3. So we are starting Chris Paul.
I mean,
we are benching Russell Westbrook. We're cutting Allen Iverson. It breaks my heart, but a commitment to take integrity says I cannot do the fraudulent thing Kevin Wilds just did. So that's the correct answer.
I never want to do the segment.
I'll let you have it from here.
Put that online. Nick Wright dislikes
Iverson.
Honey
Badger stopping by tomorrow. Stay safe and healthy. We'll see you tomorrow.
I support you, AI.